Okay, so we're basically we're ushering in 2011. It's beginning of 2011 for you, and I've had about 12 hours already, or more, and the Holy Spirit has been pouring out of me in such a way this morning. I couldn't contain him. It was amazing. It was just pouring out of me, and it was as if I must have had, I must have written so many things. Because I couldn't hold on to it. And it wasn't mine to hold on to. And he wrote this one thing at the very end of the day, in terms of afternoon. And I began to think it was just personal. But it wasn't just personal. It was for everybody. And I was gonna read what he said. So I'm just, whoa. Oh no, now it's Yes, now it is doing it. Okay. So this is what he said. This is from Daddy from January 1, 2011. I give you my kingdom. Loved you before you drew breath, or saw a glimmer of light, or were touched for the very first time. You are my child. Mine. Mine. And I will never give up on you, dear child. Never, never, never. I am the one who made you, the one who thought of you, the one who destined you to be filled with my glory, the one who died and bled for you. I am that one. So how could I ever be against you? How could I cast you out and forget about you, pretend you were never there? That would be akin to forgetting about Jesus or myself. Impossible. Be assured, no man controls your destiny, your path. I have given you this life and have planned your steps, and we will never be apart. Just because you may have run, I am not scared, trembling, or doubtful. Because I know you. I know you. I know you. How can you ever be lost? We are one. Never can be separated. Love. And that's what he told me to write. No. Unforgettable. Can't be forgotten. And I really believe this year, I was talking to some other believers today, Christians, some having trouble, some that seem to be in triumph, all over the continuum. And the ones in difficulty seem to be trying to do this themselves. Like we talked before about the Holy Spirit being the comforter. And when we're uncomfortable, when we're distressed, when we're anxious, we tend to want to self-regulate or self-medicate or self, and it doesn't have to be we're medicating with drugs or medication, but just even, it can be even verses of the Bible. Okay, well, I should know better and I should do this and I should do that. And he is saying to us, you don't understand my part. My part is complete. An absolute continual outpouring of love. That's my part. That's God's part. And we can't do anything to change it. We can't do anything bad enough to ruin it. We can't be, even our forgetting him or, trying to forget him, like he said, even our running away. It doesn't scare him. He's not like, oh no, they've gone. That's not his attitude. His attitude is, I know you. My stamp's on you. You have my brand on you. The Holy Spirit is his seal, his brand. It's like burnt into you in a good way. You can't get rid of it. You can't get rid of a brand on a horse. I mean, you could cover it up with some other brand on top of it, but that skin will always be gone. And that's how it is for us. It doesn't change. because we make a mistake, because we don't understand, because we sin or we do something stupid. And that isn't condoning sin. Oh, let's be sinful. That's not the issue. But the issue is not to be constantly judging ourselves, judging him from our perspective. We look at God as you in human eyes, and we think that he has the same character and conditions that we do, and he doesn't. That's why he is awesome. Because he doesn't. He doesn't have an issue with us the way we have issues with us or other people. He doesn't go, ah, forget him. Ah, that really offended me. Delete. Don't like you. You know, he doesn't do that the way we do. We're so quick, not just to be offended, we're so quick to cut people off. And it's something he's really teaching me, because I've had people do it to me recently. It's very, very painful. So it's helped me to look at it from his perspective. You don't do that to people, Lord. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who's being abusive or who's harassing you or is perverted. I'm not talking about that. That's a completely different issue. I'm talking about people day to day and how we treat them. But more, even more than that, how we think he thinks about us. And I believe in this year, in this 2011, he has got, oh my goodness, it really is like the champagne of the Holy Ghost. That's what I feel like. 2011 is the year of the champagne Holy Ghost. You know, and we're just going to be popping corks everywhere. In people. In people's experience of him. Not, you know, not in that weird way where, you know, let's get off on, you know, and whacked or it. Not like that at all. But genuine Holy Spirit. He is like champagne. But you don't end up losing your equilibrium and act like an idiot. You are just so, this morning, he was so bubbling over in me. I was so excited in that. You know, like it was like 400 Christmases all at once. That was the feeling. All the presents. And it wasn't like, I can't wait to open the presents. It's like, oh, I opened them. Look how good they are. I was in that place where after you've opened the presents. And you're so excited at what you got. That's what he wants to do with 2011. And I believe for the people that really want to no longer rein him in.
Yeah.
Let him go. Let him bubble over. Let the corks be, you know, pop out. And let's allow him to be who he is in us. And for us and around us, and not try to contain him, because he's uncontainable. So you might as well enjoy that part. And I'm just, this morning when he was, that's why I wasn't doing the teaching then, and maybe I should have done it then, because he was just pouring out of me. But this morning, this feeling of excitement about, I woke up with two main words that he gave me for 2011. He said, peace and joy. I thought, wow, now those are big ones. Because we know his peace isn't like the world gives. He's going to give us the peace that is the Prince of Peace, which can't be shaken and moved every time something happens that we're uncomfortable with. And I even looked up peace, and it was quite interesting. It contained things like harmony between friends, harmony between nations. This is the Greek. From the New Testament, friendliness, reconciliation, obviously with man and God. It's huge, meaty things. Nations, harmony between nations. Now I know there's all those other, you know, what's going to happen in Revelation, and I'm not saying let's pretend it's all going to be nice, but you know, ultimately there will be, everything will fall apart. It's what it says. But what I believe he's saying right now is there, like I know in Africa, they're trying to unite some of the nations through Christ in terms of bringing unity in the spirit. And I'm hoping to go to Kenya. I was speaking to somebody, a different person now, and by July, I'm hoping to get there by July, sometime between March and July, and teach there, you know, with the people that really need it, like in the slums. Imagine teaching people to be able to pray for healing, to know the Holy Ghost, to know the Father's heart, and they live in slums, and they can do that with their neighbor, and they don't need to see a doctor. They don't have to stress about the fact that they, you know, oh, we can't get to a doctor, or we don't have any money for a doctor. They just lay hands on their little child. Pardon?
They're going to pray for him. They know.
They're going to pray for what? Sorry?
Like everyone that they know.
That's right. And it'll just, again, the bubbling over. I feel like this is a really bubbling over. And one way to bring peace between nations is to demonstrate the power of God. Because if the power of God is shown and people's pain is gone and their injury and their diseases are gone, the heart softens really quickly. It usually turns around completely. And God gave us a scripture this morning, and it's in 1 Corinthians. So it's 1 Corinthians 1:17, and it says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Now, Paul, in that context, was talking to them because they were all saying, oh, I'm in Apollos, I'm in Paul, I'm in Cephas. This is when they were all deciding that I'm in Christ, but whoever baptized them, they decided they were in them, that they are of that person. And so he was trying to clarify that. So he's not saying don't baptize people, but what he was saying is that wasn't the purpose that God gave me. God gave me the purpose to preach the gospel, not with wisdom or words. So obviously not with human wisdom or words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. Isn't that amazing? So the cross is the power of God. You know, the cross is the power of God. That's what we preach. And then we demonstrate it. But that's the power of God is the whole point of the cross. It demonstrates, well, it's not the whole point of the cross. The whole point is for us to have unity with God and through the Holy Spirit. But it demonstrates the power of God as nothing else can. And what were you going to say?
I was just reading that scripture yesterday.
Okay.
Someone was asking me about, how to reach young people. And I'm like, don't try to use human wisdom or eloquent speech, but just preach the cross.
Yes.
That's the power of God.
That's it. It's just the cross. And I thought, you know, we're going to go to the nations. That's what we're going to need to do. You know, you're going into the mission fields, whichever nations God calls you to, however, whenever, that's what we have to do. Because so much of it has been trying to convince or persuade people to believe. And that's not what we want to do. I mean, God says don't do that. Because it will diminish the cross of Christ. It will make it have no effect at all. I mean, not just diminish, listen to that. No effect means it will make it look powerless. If we try to work it out and give them the right little criteria and say, oh, do you understand this? Okay, now let's go to point three. Now, do you understand point three? That's not the way to draw people. And I believe, we haven't even touched the tip of the iceberg on this. I believe until we go to the nations on a regular basis, we're going to understand that, what it means. But he's told me to hold that. I asked him for 2011, what's your scripture, Lord? That's what he gave me. I went, wow, okay. Because I'm planning on going around the world and, you know, some things are starting to get set up and I'm waiting for all the details and all of that. But that's what I need to know. That I don't have to worry about what I say and what am I going to think and how am I going to do this. I go there with knowing that the cross is the power of God. And I represent that. It's almost like this is the picture I get. If we're going to go into missions, it's as if we are one of those big wooden crosses, beautiful, you know, ones that have been polished or whatever. And we're walking. That's us. We're the walking cross wherever we go. And if they see that, then they will know. They will know that God is real. They will know that he is that he has power, and it's not that we just want them to know that he has power, but we don't want them to think he isn't powerful either, because that's how a lot of the church in the past have shared him. Just believe, now your sins are forgiven, now go and suffer for the rest of your life until you go to heaven. That's how it's been preached. You know, oh, phew, I'm in. Thank goodness. Whew, wow. You know, otherwise I'm in trouble. So this understanding and this bubbling up, you know, I really think he wants to say something about this. How he had me earlier today where I couldn't contain him. That's how he wants to be. He wants to flow that freely. You know, those living waters. He just wants to flow freely. So I had people on today, and I'm just spontaneously going into prophecy. It's just happening all the time now. It isn't like, I even said to my husband, honey, look, this just comes out all the time. Let me see what God says about you. You know, because he's telling me about everybody else. And he gave me a vision. And it was perfect. And it totally made sense. And even though I know my husband.
Because you're like, you actually love him. And like some people, when they get prophetic gifts, they like do wrong things with them. But you're just like loving people on Skype and all over the world and stuff.
Well, that's why I wouldn't take it awake. That's why the Holy Spirit had to give it to me when I was sleeping. Because I was really concerned. And now you know what I'm seeing? And this is something, you know, we can all ask for. It doesn't mean, you know, oh, one person gets it. And now I don't know. Okay, it is up to the Holy Spirit to disperse gifts. It does say it's his choice. But we can seek them. No, not seek them. We can desire them. We can tell the Holy Spirit, I want that gift, and you can tell him why. I mean, I said I wanted all the gifts, but I said I wanted them in an umbrella of love. Otherwise, I didn't want them at all. Because then they're just power. And then it's dangerous. So what I found, that now, I was telling the Holy Spirit yesterday, I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you gave me the gift of prophecy. Because people are just getting so washed and alive and excited and encouraged. I thought, I had no idea it was such a good gift. You know, most of us hear it as doom and gloom. Thus saith the Lord. Excuse me, say again. Sorry?
I've been blessed to never hear a doom and gloom prophecy, like, over me.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been, like, protecting that area. So, yeah. I've been asking God for like, prophecy, and I've had, like, things come up in my spirit where I know it's
yes.
And I've kind of been, like, yes. And I've had, like, dreams and stuff like that.
Yes.
So I'm continually, like, asking.
And the thing is, too, that in this year where he wants to just pour forth and bubble forth, those of us that might have had problems or still have problems or issues, I believe he's really saying, and I mean, it's scriptural, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We don't have to worry about those issues, but the devil wants us to stay focused on them. That's where he wants us to stay. Small. Stay small, because then I can be a big shot and hammer you. So if you have issues, any of us, if we have issues and we bring them up, I did it today. It was a test. I wasn't trying to test myself. It just happened. But it was a great example. I was in absolute, you know, just overwhelmed with the beauty and the presence and the excitement of God. And then I thought of an issue that is unresolved. And I completely went out of it. I completely went out of the presence of God. And he didn't go anywhere. I mean, he's still there. I shifted my whole focus on this issue. And I even said to him, look, I don't want to get lost in it. I just want to talk to you about it so that I don't lose what you're pouring into me. And I talked to him for a bit. And then I kind of went back. But I couldn't get back to that place of where he was just pouring in, because I got so sidetracked on this other, alley. You know, instead of being on the main road where he had me, where it's just clear driving, I got stuck in this alley, and it was very congested, a lot of traffic. Oh, it looked like one way. Oh, how am I going to get out? Now I'm stuck. It was like that. And we can, when he's showing us how much he wants to give us and how much in that giving us that he wants us, that we can then pour out. I couldn't contain it. Anybody who got on, it was going to come out of me. People were getting on. I'm like, okay, oh my goodness. Okay, this is what God is saying now. Da, 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 da. Okay, this is the picture. This one guy was on fire. His whole body was on fire from the vision, the prophecy. And I, you know, internally. And it had related to fire, so how good is that? You know, it was quite, I mean, why not? The Holy Spirit's going to make it work and make sense, you know. But it was like that. It was just pour, pour, pour. And it wasn't exhausting and it wasn't a strain. And we can have it be like that. And as soon, and the reason I'm telling you this is because it is one of the pitfalls. As soon as I shifted, I went from here, like Peter walking on water. I went from, oh, Lord, it's you. Oh, this is so amazing. I love it. I love it. I love it. And then I, you know, looked at the waves, looked at the wind, looked at my issue. And I sunk, not in a bad way. I mean, I wasn't like permanent. I was in depression or it was terrible. I just lost that presence that he was. I didn't lose the presence. I lost the focus of what was really happening. What I believe happens is I went into the wrong reality. I left the kingdom reality and I went into the human reality. And the kingdom reality was showering me with just gems and jewels and it was like golden light, you know, the bubbling champagne. I was being showered in the kingdom, in the throne room. And I left because I had an issue that wasn't resolved. I left the court. I went, okay, all right, I got to go over here and figure this one out. When did God say I should do that? See, that's how easy it is. But that means we can get back there just as easily. All I have to do now is remember, okay, what matters? What matters most? I want to be with you, Lord. I want that outpouring or infilling so I can pour out. And I would rather be interested in, I would rather have my focus on that than on this issue. Not that we don't go to him with issues. But, you know, when you're in the middle of that, stay in the throne room for crying out loud. You know, what a waste of time to leave. Go ahead.
He's going to solve the problem. You're not going. By your own wisdom or thinking about it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's it. And it taught me that. It taught me that don't diminish what he's giving us. For us not to diminish that. For us not to take it lightly. Like, don't take that lightly. Because the truth is, even though I say, yes, we can, you know, I mean, God is he's in us all the time. Through the Holy Ghost. It's not like I lost the Holy Ghost. You know, we can't lose him. But in terms of him pouring out what he's choosing to pour out at that time, I can't make that happen. You know, I can choose to focus. I mean, we can wake up in a bad mood and think about all our problems and we make ourselves stuck there. It's true. Then we can go to the Holy Spirit and say, okay, Holy Spirit, I don't want to feel like this. Bring your presence. Awaken your presence in me because I want to focus in the right way. But you usually don't get just, you know, a complete outpouring of like this light of Christ. It doesn't come like that. You can get a peace, a really nice calm. But this was like a gift from God, and I kind of walked away. And I'm not feeling guilty or I'm a bad girl or anything like that. I'm learning. It was like, next time, just stay with him. Stay with your daddy in the throne room. It's okay. It was almost too good. It was almost so good. It was like, not. It wasn't like too good to be true. It was just so good. And I thought if I walked the other way and we just went into this other room, so to speak, where my problem was, I wouldn't lose that presence. But we can't, you know how he says you can't serve two masters?
Yeah.
It's like that. So I went to the other master. The master was worry, problem, confusion. I went to that master. And that master got me tangled up for about 40 minutes. You know? And then you want to go back to where you were, and it isn't quite the same. You know, and that doesn't mean that God takes it away, or you know, it doesn't want to pour out and shower you. But we can't control God. You know, when you have those moments of revelation, it's not like we made the revelation happen, is it? He gave it to us. We want to. I want to control revelation. Yes, I do. It's like, okay, give me another one, you know, but he doesn't work like that. He works by yieldedness.
I'm in my room and I'm like sitting there, like, and it's by me and I'm like, God, speak. Sometimes, like, I'll get something in my heart and I know it's from him, and then other times I'm like, I feel like he's like, just rest. You don't need to try to work for it.
Yes. 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 Exactly. Exactly. So I think what he's teaching me here is the first day of the year. He gave me so much. He poured out so much. For the first, I'd say it was the first 4 to 5 hours of the day, maybe 6 hours of the day. And I was just walking in it, swimming in it. You know, it was wonderful. It was like swimming in champagne. That's what it felt like, you know, without getting drunk, just being happy. And it was better than that. It was way better than that. But it's so difficult to describe, you know, your spiritual awakening, I suppose you'd say. But so if that's what he's doing, and I believe that there are others that are awakening. There's a lot of others that have been awakened longer than me as well. But there are others that are either awakened or are being awakened that are going to usher in this outpouring, not because we're going to control it at all, but because we're willing to hold it and pour it out. That's it. I'm just like, okay, I make it a big V, pour it in. You know, like that's the top of the vase. You just pour in as much as you want. Keep going, keep going. Okay, now it's going to, okay, oh, now I'm overflowing. Yeah. That's good, that's good. And then the other people, the people that come into your sphere, wherever you are, whether it's online or in person, are going to get it. It's going to pour out on them. And that's Holy Ghost. And you don't know what he's going to do for them, what he's going to say, how he's going to touch them. And it doesn't matter because we don't need to know because we won't know until he does it. But that's what we can be. We can be like these. I see it as this. It's a really weird shape. Okay, it's like a terracotta pot. It's V-shaped, you know, just like a really plain terracotta V vase. But then there's this huge hole or spout in the center, like where your belly would be. And now it all pours out that way. He pours it in, it's pouring out that way. He pours it in, it's pouring out that way. He pours it in. It's not even that it's overflowing on the edges. It goes out of your belly, like the living waters. You know, and you just can't contain it. And it's so fun. You're just like swimming in it while he's pouring it in. And then everything that goes out is him. And we don't have to be judging it so much, you know, because I actually think that's what he's going to do. He's going to pour himself into that open wide. He's showing me that it's really open. You know, the top is very wide of a V shape. Then it goes thin down at the bottom, but right in the center of it is that, not a tube, a spout. And in that spout, it's an open spout. And as he's pouring in, the overflow is pouring out of him. And he wants to do that with people all over the world. All over the world. He wants believers to have this.
That is so amazing. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, it's champagne Holy Ghost. And it is not in that weird way, not in that perverse way, not in some the blasphemous way. It's the excitement that he keeps giving that word champagne. It's, you know, people have champagne when they're celebrating, don't they? That's why you have champagne. You have it at a wedding. I mean, you don't run around having champagne at funerals. We don't do that. You know, that would be in poor taste. But you have champagnes at weddings. You have champagnes at big openings. You have champagnes at parties. So it's a drink of celebration, and I believe he's saying this year, 2011, is a year of celebration in the Holy Ghost. Freedom. Freedom in the Holy Ghost. Free-flowing Holy Ghost for whoever wants to partake. Because then he say, if you come to me, you will not thirst. If you drink this water, you will never thirst again. That water has poured out 2,000 years ago, and most Christians have not been taught that it's for them. And they're running around thirsty. I spoke to somebody today saying they were parched and like in the dry land, and they're a believer. And I'm thinking, this is madness. You are not to be dry. You're not to be running around in the wilderness not knowing where the heck you're going. And you're certainly not to be thirsty. That's not what he did. He didn't die so we would be thirsty. He's the one who fills our thirst, quenches our thirst continually. But we haven't understood how to receive it. We haven't been taught. And now, you know what? Holy Ghost is teaching how to receive him. That's what he's teaching. I'm going to pour out, and all you do is receive, but I'm going to teach you how to do it. I'm not in a, you know, not in some formal lesson. Simply by experiencing him. We're going to experience him. And that's how he's going to teach us. It's not going to be through lessons. It's not going to be through somebody like me or someone else or, you know, maybe mass, you know, huge ministries are teaching us how to know the Holy Ghost. No, it's going to be experiential. Personal. He's a person. Lives in us. I will show you. I will lead you into all truth. I will comfort you. I will bring you to a place of understanding the total unity between you and the Father in heaven. He wants to pour that out. Holy Spirit has been so maligned, so misunderstood, and so ignored. This year, guess what? Corks have popped. Champagne is flowing because this is a celebration of the living God, Holy Spirit, pouring out all over. Anybody wants to drink, just get that cap off of your head. That's basically all he's saying to everybody. Be that open vessel, and I'm pouring in. And I'm going to put a spout in you so you can't help but pour out to everybody else. So you could just, and it's a constant flow. And it's going to be amazing. Better than we've ever believed. He woke me up with such excitement today. It wasn't just for my family and our issues and my ministry. And, you know, I mean, yes, it includes that. But that's just was the beginning. This is for everyone who wants it. There is no discrimination here. How amazing. You know, open wide, glug, 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 glug. We're gonna drink the truth and freedom and wholeness and healing and all of him, all of him. This is the fullness of God. He wants to dazzle us. I can see it. He just wants to dazzle our socks off. And people think this is fluffy. And they think it's stupid. And they think it's gushy. And they think it's gooey. And you're like, you have no idea of the power that this has. Just because it doesn't look like a sword or an axe hitting the enemy in the eyes does not mean this isn't power. When you get the when the Holy Spirit pours into you freely and it's pouring out of you, what do you think that is? That's pure God. It breaks every yoke. Yeah. It's total freedom. So I'm like, okay, do you just keep pouring, Lord, for the rest of eternity? And obviously when I get up to heaven, I don't know what, I'm not even going to worry about that. But while I'm here on earth, just keep pouring. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Nonstop. Nonstop. That's what it's meant to be. We are meant to live in this. Every day. It's not supposed to be, I had an experience of the Holy Spirit for 6 hours. No! My life is immersed in the Holy Spirit. I couldn't, and it's meant to be like this. I know he's saying this to me. It's meant to be like this, and he never stops, and I don't even understand that concept. How could I stop being immersed? I'm one with him. And he just constantly pours in. He constantly fills me. And then he pours it out to somebody else. And then there is no stoppage. No stoppage. That's what we're meant to have. It's no wonder Christians are miserable. We're supposed to have that joy unspeakable. That's what that champagne is. It's joy unspeakable. That celebration of life, celebration of righteousness, celebration of joy. We're supposed to have that all the time. You know, dancing on cloud nine and yet still touching a sick baby. Being filled with so much pleasure and joy that it's uncontainable and still taking the time to pray for someone who is so depressed they want to kill themselves. That's how good this stuff is. Nonstop. And then having his voice of prophecy pour out of us to touch that person that they thought they had no reason for living, and he gives them the whole direction, and they see it before their eyes. And they know it came from God because you don't know them. You don't even know their name. That's what he wants to give us. Isn't it amazing? All we say is yes, Lord. Yes.
The idea of manna is like every second. Like people will say, oh, don't live off yesterday's manna. Don't even live off an hour ago's manna. Like every second of every day, God's Spirit is alive because he's living and moving. He's the God of the living and not the dead. So
yes.
It's not like he's stagnant. Even when we rest, he's moving and he's living. And
yes.
He's boring. And he's always teaching. He's always loving.
Yeah.
Really
he's pouring out. I mean, I'm feeling him. I'm just sensing it right now. I mean, it's not like he stops, but I'm just sensing that pouring. And all I can see, I keep seeing this golden liquid, and it's just like a rush of it, though. It's not like, oh, a few drops or you know, a small container. It is like a like Niagara Falls, you know, the golden light, like Niagara Falls just pouring out of me, pouring out of us. That's what he wants to give. Nonstop flow to where you know, you walk to the street and it's no more, oh, do I touch someone? Is it okay? Or I don't know. They don't look that friendly or whatever it is we might think. Or maybe, you know, we don't sense that that's where we need to go because we're being led somewhere else. That's okay. I'm not saying that we don't do it like that. But we're going to, the flow of him is so constant and we're so immersed in it that we don't think those thoughts anymore. We are just being him in the world. As he is, so are we in this world. There is no distinction anymore. Holy Spirit in us, there never was a distinction. And he told me this months ago, well, probably, yeah, 2 months ago, stop thinking we're separate. Stop thinking of me, Holy Spirit was saying, and you as separate, because we're not. And this is one of the ways he's showing it. He's teaching it. So it's going to be a fun-filled year of demonstration of his power and his holiness and his strength and this outpouring that just doesn't stop. Like people want revival, you know, and we said, like, you know, you're going to that one, and that is such a beautiful revival. It is so genuine, you know. I mean, you could feel it. You watch it online and you just start crying and feel the presence of God. It's not like anything wrong with it at all. But I think that what God wants is to say, I want this revival pouring out of every Christian on the planet.
I agree.
So that wherever you go, revival. They get revived. That's what we want. We want to have it. We don't want it contained in a place, although it's wonderful for it to be in a place and for people to be healed and for it to pour out. But he wants us to at a whole nother place. 2011, the celebration of the Holy Spirit pouring out of every believer who says yes. We just raise our hands. That's all we have to do. Yes, Lord, I'm willing. Yes, Lord, I'll have that. Yes, Lord, send me. Yes, Lord, pour forth. Yes, Lord, however you want to do it. Yes, Lord, free reign. I'm yours. And no holds barred. And then it happens. And this year is going to be a, I believe it, I hear these words, watershed year for the Holy Spirit to be finally acknowledged. And not that he needs it, because he never glorifies himself. He only glorifies Jesus. But where he's acknowledged, so that Christians can actually walk in unity with God in every step of their lives, every step of every day. That's what he wants to give us. He's already given it, but people don't walk in it. We haven't known. So I really believe that this almost feels like this prophetic thing, you know. I really believe there's certain people on the planet who want to also usher this in, and not because they're better than anyone else. They just have a desire in their heart, and they're going to help Christians in different parts of the world bring that flow to those locations. Not because they're the container. Oh, you're the one with the special anointing, or you're the one who has all the, you know, the magic. That's how Christians end up treating people, like they're magicians. It's not like that. It's, oh, you're the one yielded and available, and you want to share this with us. And you know, when someone's yielded and available, you know how? It's because the other people get it too. It doesn't stay in the one who's came. It's given away. And that's what he's looking. You know how he says he seeks, what does it say? He seeks the earth to see, oh, there's this wonderful scripture. That that God roams to and fro, seeking, not the way the enemy does, but seeking. I'm trying to remember the scripture. It's in, I think it's in Kings. I'm going to find it, because it's really important. So that verse is 2 Chronicles 16:9, and it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." And in reference to being willing to be a container, a holder, not a container like a thing, but a holder of his presence, his glory, that's going to pour out. He's seeking to and fro like that. That who he can show himself strong. It says, okay, throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. And, you know, people think, well, okay, although grace is grace, and there's no bones about that, grace is grace, and there was no loopholes. In terms of how you are going to be in the kingdom and what he will do with you in the kingdom, that's determined by your relationship with him. How close you are, how much time you spend, and it's not a pick and choose, like, oh, I like you and I don't like you, the way we would do on a basketball team. God doesn't do that, line us up at the wall and go, no, you're really good at shooting, oh, you're good at guarding, you know, he doesn't do that. It's not that kind of, or, and then leave some out and they get nothing. That's, I mean, that we're all his children. But in terms of how yielded we are, it makes a real difference on what he can give us. And if he here is saying, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." Now that's strength. He's going to show it in strength and demonstration of power as well. But not in that kind of power where we're just running around, oh, let's heal somebody, and oh, look what I did today, and I did this, and I did, not in that way at all. He's talking about the kind of power that, like you had said before, is going, it absolutely breaks the yoke of people.
Yeah.
Instantly. Fully, immediately, without your efforting. You know, like, if you've got Niagara Falls pouring out of you, not much is going to be able to resist. You know? It's just going to get bowled over. Isn't it? That is what's going to happen. And so the things that aren't of him, the things that don't belong on people. You know, that kind of, that rush of power, that rush of water is going to push it out. It's going to collapse it. It's going to break it. It's just not going to be able to hold anymore. And it's not power like, oh, I've got the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit pouring forth unmeasured, unfettered, uncontained, and unhindered. Because we're not saying, oh, well, I guess that's okay. Oh, I don't know if I should do that. Oh, I don't know if that's all right. Oh, well, I'm just not really feeling like it. It's just, he takes charge. I really believe this is the year, and I know this is controversial in a lot of circles, especially healing circles, I suppose you'd call it, you know, healing schools of thought. But I really believe this is your Holy Ghost is going to have free reign. He has taken over. And if people don't like it, it's kind of get out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't like the rush of the waters pouring forth, if you're not going to deal with it, you know, this is pouring forth. If you don't want to swim in it or contain it and pour it out, you're going to need to get out of the way. Because you're going to get bowled over and it's going to, you know, you're going to go gurgle, gurgle, gurgle. You know, be trying to get up to the surface. That's what's going to happen. He's pouring out. Like it or not, tough luck. It's really like, I really think 2011 is the champagne celebration. Holy Ghost, I'm pouring out. If you don't like it, I'm not stopping. It's not going to stop him. So I'd rather be one of those containers that just goes, okay, pour in. I'm ready. So I can pour out. It's never just for us. Never just. I mean, Jesus, what did he do? He poured out for us. Not for himself. And we're made like him. We're supposed to be as he is, so are we in this world. We have to do the same. Not from that horrible controlled oppression. Oh, you got to be good and you better heal people and otherwise you're not saved. Not from any of that nonsense at all. It's not from there. It's from a place of, I can't wait to be a part of what you're doing, Daddy. Let's go. That's where it's from. We're his. We're his. That's why he wrote that note, very short note, so I didn't put it in a note form as I usually do, but I just wrote it out as he was writing, and I was crying, you know, under the mulberry tree where I go, but it was still too hot under there today even, but I was writing this and crying, and initially I thought it was a personal one, and then I realized it was for everybody. Everybody who needed to hear it. Because it started out, and you know, I give you the kingdom, and I'm like, oh, okay, Lord, yay. Tell me that, because I'm talking to him about the nations and all these other things. And then he just is going, you know, the Holy Spirit just keeps going. I'm going, oh, this is for the body of Christ. They need it. And so many people have already commented saying, this is where I'm at. This is what I needed. Oh, I was so dry. Oh, thank you. Not thank me. I mean, he wrote it, you know. Okay, thank you for delivering the message. Yes. But thank you, Holy Spirit. That's what you're saying to your body. The part of the body that has been, I believe, either beaten up or dismissed or minimized or pushed so hard they're over the edge. So they can know there is no way he looks at them the way others do. He doesn't look at us that way. And he never will. He doesn't even look at us the way we look at us. He's delighted. He looks at us. Well, I can see him. He cups our face. When I go out in the streets and I pray for people, not, you know, every time I do it, but often when I've done it, I end up cupping people's faces that I've known for 30 seconds. With such love coming out of my hands, it's totally the Father. And they can be any. They can be 17 or 80. It doesn't matter their age. I still find myself doing it. And I feel his tenderness in my hands. And they never push my hands away. They never say no. They just look. They look a little lamb-like. And sometimes they look a little shocked. But not in a way where they're horrified or, oh, I hope this is over. Just, I don't understand, but I want this. That's the look on their face. And that's what we can give them. When we actually get that, he cups our faces too. He's doing it all the time. He doesn't get his hands off our faces. He's always going, oh, you're beautiful. That's always coming at us. We don't hear it. We think, oh, but I should do more for you, Lord. Oh, but I had a bad thought, Lord. Oh, I'm not working as hard as I could, Lord. Oh, I didn't pray for that person, Lord. Oh, I was lazy today, Lord. Oh, I didn't read the Bible, Lord. Or whatever it is that we come up with that becomes a barrier between his love, our receiving his love that's always pouring out. But there is no barrier. It's in our heads. Or it's in people's mouths. Or it's Satan's mouth talking through people. Or talking through us that says, no, 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 you can't have that much delight. Well, then the cross was for nothing. That's my answer to the enemy. If I can't have that much love, and he said he wanted to give me joy and my joy to be full, joy unspeakable, that I never could be separated from the love of God, well, what else am I supposed to be experiencing but delight? There is nothing else to experience. And then that delight pours out to us. I can see you right now. I'm seeing you right now. I can see you. And it's this Florence Nightingale type of scenario where you are, I'm going to cry because I can feel it so strongly, where you are, you know, like, okay, it looks like a nurse. This is the picture, a nurse with the cross on it, you know, the Red Cross, how they used to do it. And they'd go to different nations and disaster places and the army and everything. And these nurses would have the cross. Okay, and they would give medicine, and they would heal the wounded and bind them, and you know, and if they'd been shot or if they'd been hurt or if they had diseases, they would care for them until they were well, or in some cases in those scenarios until they died. And I see you, the picture he's giving me is a Florence Nightingale. There's a little black child, really young, very young, you know, maybe one, maybe a little bit older. And they don't look really sick, but you, I see you, and I think with this, this is also symbolic. There's a little, you know, I call them owies, because when I used to teach, I'd say, oh, do you have an owie? You know, a little owie on the elbow of this child, and you're putting, you know, like little, my mother used to put Mercurochrome on it. You're putting a little Mercurochrome, you know, like you make it all better, make it all better. But it isn't as if you're going to necessarily physically do that, although you may do that in the physical. But the picture is the Florence Nightingale kind of heart, where you're going there to care for, look after, heal those that are hurting. And the beginning of the video, I still can see you, and it's in one of those old-fashioned hats that they used to have, like in World War One, probably. I don't know if they still had those kind of hats in World War Two. And there's a big red cross on your hat, and because you're probably, if you were, perhaps, you know, if you didn't understand healing, you probably would go into nursing. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you can heal people through nursing as well. And that may be something that you're going to do. I don't know. I'm not telling you what you're supposed to do. All I'm telling you is the picture. And the kindness in your face, the need in the people, and I feel like there's more, so just hang on, and I'm going to pause it for the minute. Okay, from your feet, you're walking, and it's muddy, but you know, you're all in white, and you've got your little nurse's hat with the cross of Christ on it, and it's red, a really strong colored red cross, and you're walking, and it's muddy, and out of your feet, it's like this rush of water pouring out of your feet, okay, and that rush of water, again, I have to pause it to get the flow. It just stops me when I think I'm recording it, so I'm saying that online so people know. That rushing away, that water that's coming out of your feet and it's rushing away all and making it, although it's mud, it's pouring out in such a way that it rushes away and cleans and removes all that shouldn't be there, so that underneath the feet of the people, including you while you're there, is solid ground. It's solid ground. So all the gunk that's built up, whether they've been taught the wrong things, maybe they've been evangelized before. Who knows what they've been? Maybe it's religion. I don't know what the rushing, what it's washing away, but it's the gunk and the mud that's stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit. And your feet are walking through, and your feet are flowing with that living water, and it's washing it away. What needs to go for those people. And he seems to be showing me lately, feet are so important. Where you walk and how you walk. Because that's the first thing that hits the ground. We think the feet are you know, like, oh, that's the lower end of the body. You know, I don't have to think about it. They get dirty, whatever, my feet, they might hurt. The feet are so important because our feet are covered, or how does it say, not shod, how is it, clad, how, whatever that word is, in the shoes of the gospel of peace. That's what our feet carry. And he's starting to pour out living waters. I had another prophecy for somebody the other day. It was gems on this man's feet. Everywhere he walked, these gems just poured out of his feet. These treasures of God. The people were going to feel. And so much of it is going into the third world countries, developed nations. That's where these feet are going. Because they're open and they need it. And there are, that doesn't mean that people don't need it in Western nations. They do. But people, he calls people to Western nations just as he calls people to developing nations. And wherever your heart is, there are people who are called to America and they want to mostly preach and teach in America because he's put that heart. That's not my heart. That's not your heart. I know where he's called me. I know. And it's the places where I get excited. And it is not the developed world. Not at this point, anyway. Although I live in the developed world. And I still minister in the developed world. It's completely different in the undeveloped world. Or the developing world, I should say. Yeah, it's just absolutely different. What their needs are different. Okay, on one level, no. Their needs aren't different. We all need Jesus Christ. We all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But their needs are different in the sense of the kind of lifestyle that they live and what they're going to be able to, what they even are going to look at is their possibilities in their lives. In you know, the things that most Westerners who are even lower middle class have, they wouldn't even consider, that would be beyond kings, some of these places. And if what we're going to give, what we are going to go in with through Holy Spirit, I think he really likes being called that. Like, not the Holy Spirit. He likes being called Holy Spirit. That's his name. So what we're going to give through Holy Spirit, that's like saying Mr. Smith, you know, that's like saying Jesus, you know, that's his name. We don't go the Jesus. We don't go the Oh, we do say the Father, don't we? I call him Daddy. But anyway, so what we're going to be able to give them through Holy Spirit is that flow, this champagne celebration, life pouring out of us, clearing the path for the one true God. So whether that mud is your, you know, their idols that they believed in, or false religions, or Christian religion that is, you know, totally entangled them. It doesn't matter. It's going to get washed down. And it's on an incline, too. Okay, you're walking down on it, and you don't care that your nice white shoes, the water is rushing so rapidly out from your path that you make. Every time you take a step, that water is rushing so rapidly. Your shoes aren't even getting dirty. And it's on an incline. It's on an incline. So that water is just going, you know, the power of the force of it. And underneath is hard ground. Good ground. No gunk. Solid ground that you and those people can stand on. Jesus Christ, the rock. That's what they're going to have. And they will, I can see it now, they will build churches. They will build, and they will be like these hut churches. You know, these ones that are made out of palm trees and this, that, and the other. It's going to be like that and open because, you know, the weather's like that. You know, why would you need to close it? You know, so might have a couple of walls and then the rest of it's all open. You know, just, it's going to be, yeah, it's amazing. And that still, that builds on that other vision about the grace. You know, this, none of this is separate. It's not like, oh, now you have a new path. Do you know what I mean? These are steps to that fullness that he's called you into.
Thank you,
and it's amazing. It's amazing. But you are so strongly, you are so strongly in that Florence Nightingale uniform. It's not, I can't, it won't come off of you. And you might want to look, you might want to just even look her up. I don't know a lot about her. I do know she was a Christian. And I think she was the one who started the Red Cross. I believe she started the Red Cross, but I'm not sure. But it's like you're going in that same attitude, that same that self-sacrificing attitude. I really get, well, that's what it is. It's an attitude of self-sacrifice.
Did you know before I knew about the supernatural, I was going to go into the army? I remember going to a museum, and it was like, oh, it was a women in the army museum. And I remember seeing women in the nursing outfit. And I specifically have that memory of, I was like, I want to do that, like, before I knew about the supernatural. And so as soon as you said that, I was like, wow, I just had that memory of me looking at that and just being like, wow, that's what I want to do. I want to help people like that. So that just immediately confirmed that I was like, wow. Beyond even that.
Yes, yes. And times we get caught, like I started out as a teacher in the natural. Well, I didn't start out. I did a lot of other fields. I've been done heaps of different careers. But I ended up doing teaching and really being passionate about it, absolutely loving the children, absolutely making, you know, asking God to make my teaching a worship to him, and just, it was incredible. I mean, the things that the children were able to do, they just soared, not just academically, but even spiritually. So many of them came to Christ. It was incredible. So I started, you know, that was what I thought I was going to do, kind of like the rest of my life gig. And basically, God called me, and I dropped the net. I just dropped, it was like, come follow me. I was like, okay. I mean, I 3 degrees, you know, huge amount of fees in for university, and but it was like, you know, he called. What am I going to do? Yeah, say like, no?
I don't have any student debt or anything like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Like that. And I'm just at a community college, and I know, like, with each new day, God's doing something new in me. And so, like, I'm not putting any limits on it. When people ask me, like, what it is that I'm doing in the future, I don't know exactly. But with each new day, it comes clearer and clearer.
Hallelujah. Well, and that's how it's meant to be. That's exactly how it is. I mean, he lives in you. You know, sometimes I look at us and I think, how could we not be clear? What are we talking about? I have the living God living in me, and I'm not clear. What is that? That's called... I really think, I'm going to say this on a personal level, and I would say even with other people, that that comes from a, because sometimes we don't want to see what he's saying, hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
So we keep it at abeyance, because that's easier than being clear, and we say, oh, I'm not clear, I don't know what to do, da da da. Because often he's actually told us what to do 5,000 times. But we turn over here and go, I didn't hear that. Did I really hear that? Oh, I don't think that was from God. Oh, I don't know. You know, it's we play games with it. It was a bit silly. But anyway, so the fact that you're growing in that and seeing him develop you day by day, that's how it's meant to be. We're meant to be excited about this. This isn't torture. You know, I'm talking with some people and they seem tortured about, oh, I have to do this. No, you don't. What's going to happen if you don't do it? What is it, the lightning strike? What, do you think you're going to lose your position? What, God stops loving you? I mean, where is that? In the Bible, where is that in the scriptures? Although people can twist scriptures and make it sound like, you know, well, you can lose this. I want to do a whole teaching on that one.
Fear-based religion that tries to control.
Say again?
People rather than letting the spirit move. It's like fear-based religion.
Yes, fear-based religion. Yeah, exactly. So, I think the uniform is saying something in the picture, because it's so crisp and it's white and it's starch. And similar to Florence Nightingale, she made sure everyone knew that the nurses were there for that particular reason. They obviously were highly disciplined. That when you're in a situation like that, your moral fortitude is going to be tested. You know, there are going to be people that were, you know, I mean, the enemy is going to, he loves to tempt people, to discredit them. So you're in the vision, you're making it so clear, I am here for this, and this alone. And where I walk, the flood of living waters pours out of my feet, washes away everything that is not of God, and my feet are still, my nurse's shoes are still white, perfectly crisp, clear, and white. Because I'm not soiled by the world. I'm clean in the world. And yet I'm willing to be in the world, but I'm not of it. That's your uniform. You're in the world, but not of it. You wear the glory of Christ. Clean, clear, and crisp. And never soiled. Because you have living water pouring out of you. How are you going to be dirty? And pouring into you. Amazing. So it's a wonderful word. And it lines up with that other word. It's a glorious word. It's that outpouring of Him. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you've poured forth this vision, this, you are pouring forth yourself. It is a year of the outpouring of Holy Spirit. We thank you. We receive it gladly. We open ourselves as perfect vessels for that opening, because you said we were perfected forever by the one offering, Jesus Christ. And now we are perfect vessels to contain new wine, for new wineskins to contain and pour forth your glory. The Holy Spirit Himself in living waters everywhere we go. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you help us to continue to be worthy vessels, Lord, that we don't get sidetracked, we don't look to the left or the right, but we stay on that narrow path with you. Not a path of restriction or constriction, but the path that is ordered for us, perfect steps, the only steps we want to take. Thank you, Father. We thank you that we are kept undefiled from this world in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. You tell us to guard our hearts because from it issues the wellsprings of life. We pray to guard those hearts. We thank you that you guard those hearts by the blood of Jesus. And we release unto you, Lord, our lives, our purpose, our mission, everything that we have, we offer up to you as a living sacrifice. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It is going to be so fun, so fun. No wonder Paul said, I boast of nothing but Christ and Him crucified. That is what this is all about. And as he said in that first verse that he gave earlier, the 1 Corinthians 1, 17, reminding us, for Christ did not send me to baptize. This was him discussing that about to the Corinthians, because they were all getting into, well, if you baptize me, I'm of Paul, but to preach the gospel, proclaim it, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. We thank you, Father, that we embody the scripture. We preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. We ask that the cross of Christ be made of full effect in our lives, Lord, in everything that we do, in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Hallelujah. And that effect pours out to everyone that we minister to, Lord, everyone that you send to us, and everyone you send us to. In Jesus' name. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Glory, Lord. Hallelujah. For 2011, the champagne celebration of Holy Spirit pouring forth like never before. In Jesus' name, a rushing, rushing waterfall of his glory. We receive it and we give it away. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, that's the beginning of new 2011, yeah. So, I'm going to say shalom and let you enjoy all of the benefits of his, what he said to you. Just drink it, you know, drink it in, because it is good, and he is good. And I'll put that online so you can listen to it again. So you can have it, or I can send it to you as well. But we'll finish off there, and we'll say shalom, shalom, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay.
Have a good day.
All right. Have a wonderful New Year's Day. All right. Bye.